We'll be preaching on a few minutes. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Little heading in my Bible says, Jesus calls the first disciples. So speaking of Jesus, we read, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when he had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and the nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought the boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. Amen.
Morning, everyone. My name is Alex Botos. This is my English name, because in Romanian is Alex Botos, but nobody can say the last letter, so I'm not going to struggle. The only problem that I get is sometimes people confuse me with Botas, which is not right. It's Botos, and I'm happy with that. So it's very hard with the names, but everything else is okay. I'm going to put the box down a little bit. I have a visual example in at the end to just get the message more clearly into our heads, into our minds, and into our hearts at the end. Probably some of you might know the example, so please don't ruin it. Don't shout the end of it, you know, "Oh, this is that," because it's going to, not help me. But anyway, I always present myself as with three things. I'm a Christian, firstly. I'm a husband, and I'm a good father. Now, why am I a good father? Because I have three girls. So I'm thinking, if God decided from heaven, said, he's okay with three girls, that means I'm a good father. I don't know what to say. But that's my perspective on it, so please don't contradict me. It's easy right now to have girls. Well, especially my girls, in a way. But the pastor that I serve with at Gateway Church in Barnsley, his name is Mark Riesbeck. He's always looking at me, and when we talk about girls, he's like, "Oh, Alex, my girl. Oh, wait, you're gonna see what happened." And I'm like, "This is not encouraging. this is not at all something that I like, Mark." So I do serve as an assistant pastor at Gateway Church in Barnsley. We have a Romanian meeting in the morning, and in the afternoon we have an English meeting. And this Sunday, it's a special Sunday, because all the last Sundays of every month, for us they are a united service. So we suspend our morning meeting so we can all come in the afternoon, worship together in English, and be together as a church. Now, it's very hard, because with the Romanians, it's kind of hard to get them in afternoon. So last Sunday, because it was Pentecost Sunday, I said to them, I said, you know what? I would like to see another Pentecost day. This is for a Romanian meeting in the morning. I said, I would like the Holy Spirit to come right now and give you the English speaking in tongues. So from now on, you're not going to speak any Romanians with your friends, family, only English, so you would understand that you came in this country. Maybe God has something else intended for you, you know, to evangelize the people around you. And everybody speaks English, so why don't you? So, you know, that was the idea. And I saw some faces that just go down. It's like, oh, no, he didn't. he shouldn't say that. But obviously, you know, sometimes I don't care about what people think about what God wants to do. And I think that's more important. For this morning, I choose this passage because it's a passage that lately God has speaking to me from. And it's a passage that really challenges me in my life. It's very hard because this wonderful calling of Jesus, follow me, is not that easy in every day, if you noticed. And I think at the end there is a catch here somehow, you know, follow me. But what that really means exactly, what Jesus wants them to do. And I think it's very important to look at the passage and to understand a little bit. Now, today, we don't have a lot of times, if you noticed, to follow Jesus or to listen to Jesus. And I think this is one of the big problems that this passage addresses. Because when you look at what Jesus is doing here, he's preaching to a crowd, but on the shore of the lake, there is a crew there of fishermen. No fish in the boats, nothing to sell. They are just, you know, mending the nets, repair them to go back and fish again. Probably, or go home. I don't know. I have no idea, to be honest. I don't like fishing. So I'm not going to preach on fishing this morning, so I'm so glad and relieved. But I don't know. I'm more an active guy. So for me to go to a lake, to a water, and just, you know, stand there for a fish is not my thing. My manager that I work with, he's a fisherman. So he's always explaining me, you know, the instruments and how much he's spending. He has a kit, I think, about 5,000 pounds. He changed his car because the kit is big now and he couldn't put it all the way. So he changed the car. And I'm like, all right. And once I did a mistake to ask, and do you catch anything? Because, like, you don't ask that a fisherman, right? So I did it. I almost got suspended for a day. But, you know, I managed to pray and God was, you know, a loving father. But anyway, don't ask that. So, you know, they are all night fishing, nothing in the net. They don't have any fish. But it's interesting how the passage constructs the image because you have the crowds that are listening and the crew of the fishermen. They're just there by the lake, but they don't listen. They're mending the nets. You know, we might have listened this before. So I don't know. Maybe it's not the time. It's not the right thing that we want to hear. They were busy. So I don't know how you are this morning, but I think Jesus lately wants to talk to us, wants to engage with us. Are we listening? Are we listening to Jesus? As a Christian, sometimes it's very easy for us to just come to church every Sunday and thinking, oh, we're Christians because we are doing that. But does this really mean that we are following Jesus? I think being a Christian obviously is more than this. It's much more. Jesus has called us to something great, and we will see this in the passage, and it's amazing. So the real question that I want to put is this one. Are you following Jesus? Are you having the time to sit down and listen, you know, to make sure that he is what you're doing what really he wants you to do? I know we are busy, and that's the problem today. Nobody has time for Jesus. We have time for God somehow with a short prayer or something like this, but no time to really focus on who Jesus is and if you are really an 100% image of him every day. Following Jesus, it means something much more. And just 2 Sundays ago, we celebrated the resurrection, the ascending of Jesus to heaven. And that was amazing, because in that story, in everything that Jesus did there, it's important that he had to go to send us something else. But I think the beautiful meaning of this is that Jesus had to go so we can listen and definitely become Jesus. Now, not become God or anything like this, but become a small Jesus in this on this earth. This is what we are. We are Christians. Our name, Christiani, comes from Christ. We are little Christ on this earth. But if he would not go, he will still be here today, probably, doing miracles, and everything will be a different place. And we will still be under Jesus somehow. But he had to go because we need to become like him. That's what follow me means exactly. Follow me. Come after me. Look what I do in my moments that I'm hungry or I'm sleeping or anything that I do. Come after me. Follow me. Look at me and be like me. I think that's the clear message. Now, how do we get there? Because this is important. Well, first, like the disciples, we have to listen to him. We have to stop what we're doing and listen to Jesus. Focus on him. He's speaking, he's talking in your life every day. In our morning service, I always encourage people, almost every Sundays of the month, we have a short time of sharing moments. And I encourage everyone, you know, look into your life in the week that has passed. Or where when you go to work and you do your thing. You know, pay attention to your life and let me know if you see God or Jesus in your life. And every Sunday, you know, in the service, I have a moment when I say, you know, we're going to have a quiet time now. And is anyone in here that had an experience with Jesus or with God this past week, please come and share. Do you know how many people come? Just have a guess. Anyone? Two we got here? Anyone less than that? One? Sometimes zero. I know it's hard to come in front. We're not a bigger church like this. So I think for some people it should be much easier to come, you know, much easier. But it's not like that. They don't come. And sometimes I ask them, you know, you really didn't have any experience with God this week. No, nothing happened. I just go to work, come back. Nothing happened. And I'm amazed sometimes because he passes 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Nobody had any experience with God. And I'm like, what happened here? Are we even Christians anymore? Is God not coming, you know, that north, that part of the UK? What's happening? If you pay attention to your life, God is present. But sometimes you have to open your eyes and really listen to Jesus and let him guide you through your everyday circumstances. And he will have a message. He can reveal to you. Now, in our passage, what happens first is that sometimes God works like this in our lives. He needs to catch our attention. So sometimes God will get us through a crisis in life. If you look at the disciples, obviously in the morning, the boat was empty. Was nothing there. That's a crisis, especially for a fisherman, I guess. Oh, I'm assuming. It's, you know, you come after a whole night of work and nothing is in the boat. That's a crisis. And sometimes God has to take us to crisis in life. And it's not easy, it's not nice, we don't like them, and we definitely don't want them. But the boat is empty. And sometimes we have to realize that you're in a crisis. There's a problem. And when you see that into your life, in that moment you should think about what's happening. What does God want me to do now? Or what he wants me to learn? Listen. I don't know if you're getting through a crisis or not, but I know it's hard. It could be that you suddenly lose your job, or someone that you love departs, or maybe an illness, something comes into your body, it's a crisis. Or maybe it's a spiritual crisis, that you don't see God anymore, you know, God is not speaking to you, or you feel empty, like a desert, when you come to church, when you open the Bible. And sometimes God allows that moment into your life. You have to go through a crisis so you can wake up. And when people go in through crisis in their lives, usually I notice they come and search for God. Brother Daniel knows this couple very well, Andrade and Christy from Huddersfield. They were baptized in our church. And all of a sudden, one Sunday, they come to church. They've been a few times, but nothing serious. They're still coming and going and skipping Sundays. And all of a sudden, one Sunday, they come to church. And I'm inspired by the Holy Spirit to ask again if it's anyone in here that has a testimony, you know, an experience with God. And I didn't think of him, you know, Christy. And he is the first one to jump up. I have one. He comes up, goes in front, and he starts talking about his experience with God. And he says, you know what, I want to get baptized. And I'm like, well, what happened? what's this? You know, we don't have any water right now. He's not. I wanna get baptized. I'm like, what happened? And he starts to share his story. I was playing with my son in the park, and we were just, you know, passing the ball. And all of a sudden, I gave him a long ball, and because he was little, he stopped it on his chest, and he collapsed. And the boy is without breath. And in that moment, he said, I didn't know anything else to do because I was so scared. I stopped praying. And I said, God, I know who I am, but I know you exist. Please do something for my boy. He was not moving. He was not breathing. I didn't know what to do. I didn't even forget, you know, the ambulance and everything to shout out, you know, please do something. I was just, I want to pray. So in that moment, I prayed. And my son recovered. And he said, I know this could be silly for you, but after I prayed and my son was all right, I saw a white dove just right there. He said, for me, that was an answer that God really answered my prayer. And I know that he had to take me to this situation to understand that, you know, I have to pay attention. We have another sister that is getting baptized. She asked for the baptized, and probably next Sunday we're going to have, next Sunday, yeah, on the 2nd of June, we'll have a baptism. And she comes to church with a similar story. She didn't go to church. She's not a Christian believer. Yeah, she comes from an Orthodox Christian family, but they don't go that much to church. They don't know that much about God. And she said the same thing in the living room. I was just playing with my girl, and all of a sudden, she's losing the breath. She's having problems. And I thought, I'm losing her. And she said, I didn't know what to do, but my cousin is there. And she starts praying, and my daughter gets better. And that moment of crisis was a moment for her that she always tells with a smile on her face, you know, God really working that day in my life, and I know he's real. You know, sometimes if you feel God doesn't work in your life, you need a crisis. And I know it's hard. But in that moment when the boat is empty, there's nothing there, everybody's coming and is looking at you, you must be losing it because otherwise what are you doing? No fish in the boat? You have to put your head down and, yeah, I know. But the wonderful thing about fishermen is that they are resilient. Even though the whole night they didn't catch anything, they are still mending the nets. Remember, if that was me, I will sell them right away. I don't care. You know, you want them, it's yours. All the business. But not them. So Jesus turns the attention to their lives. And in this moment, he says, you know, I need your empty boat because I want to do something amazing. So Jesus first comes and catch their attention. Peter, let's get in the boat. Let's go a little bit, you know, far from the shore because I need a little bit of space so I can preach. And Simon, in that moment, he listens. He doesn't say anything. He's quitting his things that he's doing. He's getting the boat with Jesus. And he starts listening to Jesus in that moment. This is how Jesus catches our attention. Come on, let's get the empty boat. I know what to do with it. And in that moment, after the preach, we don't know what the message was about. I don't know if the message was about fish. I don't know. The message could be about, in my belief, I assume that the message of Jesus that was preaching to the crowds was about, you know, calling them, calling them to the kingdom. What else Jesus will preach about? So as he's preaching out of all this, he wants to finish his sermon with something practical. So in that moment, he tells Simon, I don't think he was ready for it. He said, Simon, right now, just throw the net into the deep. Obviously, at night, you will fish more the surface because the fish will be there. In the nighttime, on the daytime, obviously, the fish are more deeper into the water. So Jesus said, well, I know you don't used to, but just go for the deep right now. And obviously, as everybody's looking at the passage, Peter is looking at Jesus and he's like, well, we did fish all night. There's no fish, but we'll still do it. And I'm amazed in this passage that the most obedient character are the fish. Have you noticed? All night, God said to them, no one gets on the net. And they knew what they were doing. They haven't catch one fish. They could say, well, there's just two fish here. That's everything. No fish. This is how obedient the nature is to God. They have all the time to listen. And follow me when Jesus calls them. Follow me. This is where we need to get to understand what this calling means. When Jesus says, follow me, it's like that. 100% obedience. Because the next day, on the morning, when God calls the fish to do what? Jump on the net. What do you think? They all came. There were so many of them. They had to bring both, with James and John together and just collect the fish. And those boats were breaking down. We don't know how many fish they catch. But all the fish in that morning when they hear the calling, they came. Not us. A lot of times we don't have time to listen. We don't understand that Jesus is calling. So what do? Well, sometimes God, besides the crisis that comes into our life, sometimes we need to adapt our life to God's calling. And that's the moment. This is the moment when Peter realized. He realized something big. That he's standing in the presence of the Almighty God. The presence of Christ is so overwhelming. He sees the true reflection of God. And when you get closer and closer to God, that's the moment when we get closer and closer with our sinfulness. We're getting closer and closer with who we are. This is what Peter says. Well, please depart from me because I am a sinful man. When we get closer to Jesus and we see his true reflection, we are getting more convicted of our sins than we ever been in our lives. Why? In crisis, we always see exactly who we are. Because when you get to Jesus, that's the moment when you have to adapt your life with something. You can't serve him if you don't start adapting your life. Now, how is this working in this passage? So please, let me point this out to you. At first, you have an empty boat, nothing in it. Then all of a sudden, the boat is full of fish. And in that moment, as a fisherman, as of a businessman, you're thinking, this is breakthrough. I'm going to pay my debts. I'm gonna buy a bigger boat. I'm gonna pay everyone. I can put money aside. This is my moment. If you have two boats full of fish, which is not something ordinary for any fisherman, that's the moment when you're thinking, big. I finally made it. I'm at the top. I'm someone. I can do it. In that moment, Jesus looks at Peter. And everybody else says, you know what? I know the boat was empty, now it's full, but now it's time to leave everything away. Would you do it? Follow me, says Jesus. But wait, there's a catch. Would you do it? Would you be ready to leave everything and just go? Yeah, but I just had a breakthrough. I got my prize, my Nobel Prize now. Oh, God. Yeah, but you know, I need you. Will you be willing to give up everything and follow Jesus? When you look in the first century of Christianity, that was the true mark of a Christian. Because you knew if you would say yes to the gospel, you will lose your house, maybe your family, your wealth, and you end up in prison, maybe eaten by a beast or set on fire on a pole. I don't know. You'll be there somehow. Would you be ready to give it all up for Jesus? To follow him? Because this is the calling. And Jesus doesn't expect you to give 50% of give something. And the biggest question is, how do I understand, how can I see that Jesus is calling me? Well, if you're a Christian, let me just point something out that I think is so, so important. That sometimes in church, Jesus is calling us to ministry by just seeing the needs that are in church. If you see a need, I don't know, something. Maybe there's someone needing a message or someone needing to shake a hand at the door. I don't know, someone in the worship. There's a need somewhere in the church. Yeah, but you know, I never did it. It's not my thing. This is the thing. Jesus is not going to call us to things that we already knew well, so well to do. We are so good at it. No, he's going to call us a lot of times to things that we don't know how to do. Because the crisis in our lives sometimes is a faith crisis. Because you have to understand, oh, I can't do this by myself. This is too big for me. And that's the moment you give up and you let God to really work into your life. But even if he's doing that, he's not going to let you do anything until you adapt to your life according to his priorities. Are you ready to leave everything for Jesus? This passage was so hard on me because I started to become a pastor back in Romania for 7 years. Then we moved here, UK, and brother Daniel had a big big role in our lives coming to UK. And when I'm thinking about my life, and if God calls me to come and give 100%, sometimes I kind of create a lifestyle that it's not easy to give up. As a pastor, sometimes it was very, very hard to, compete with people or be present in all the conversation because people will start talking about, holidays. We've been last year in, I don't know, Dubai or Greece, and you've never been, for 2 or 3 years anywhere. We bought a new car. You still have the old car for somebody, that donated it. The only thing that I could brag of is a Bible with some golden, sides. Which I don't know if it was gold or not, but I thought it was 34 carats gold. But that's the only thing. You can't say anything amazing. Coming to UK, I started working, and that was a big priority in my life because with my family, 3 girls, I'm still saving. I have a special saving account for all the pink dresses and all this and the other stuff. Anyway, I don't like it. But, start working and creating a lifestyle. It's good and it's nice. And when I'm calling people, what are you ready to let go in your life? They want to get more overtime. They want to get more money. They want to get more properties, more things. So when you come to church, I have someone that is a very strong Christian. But in the last 2 months, he came to church once. I'm like, what are you doing? Where are you going? Well, I just came from another holiday. I'm going the other part. I'm going there. And what are you doing? Are you still a Christian? Are you still following Jesus? Jesus doesn't want 50% of all time. He needs us 100% to follow him. And I think the easiest way to get to follow Jesus sometimes is just, like I said, to see a need in the church. See something that, you know, needs to be done. And stop thinking that you're good at it. Because sometimes God is going to give you the gift, the wisdom, and he's going to equip you to do his ministry, even though sometimes you don't know nothing to do, nothing about it. But I think this is how God works in our lives, everywhere. So for me, it was very, very hard when I look at the passage. The boat was empty. Now the boat is full. And I like it and I love it and I have so many ideas. And God comes and says, you know what? You have to live it. Come and follow me. I'm going to make you a fisherman of men. And it's hard. It's hard to give up. It's hard to give up a lifestyle. But following Jesus, this is what it means. You have to give up your sins, your things that you're doing that are not according to God's moral law, your mistakes, your things that sometimes you might love them. You have to give them up. Maybe you like to boast with everything that you have. Maybe there's other stuff. But you have to give them up. To understand this better, if we go to John chapter 21, we get Peter, the same place, the same lake, the same waters, the same fish. The same situation. They haven't catch anything all night. And all of a sudden, Jesus is on the shore. Hey guys, have you catch anything? Nothing. Well, throw it on the other side. They did it, and they catch a lot of fish. But this time, we have an insight. They know that they catch 153 big fish. Again, the eyes are open. 153 big fish. And Jesus puts a question. And I think the question translates like this. He's looking at them and says to Peter, Peter, do you love me more than this? And I don't think it was Peter and John Jesus was pointing at, because John would not let that slip in the gospel. He's not going to let in his gospel something bad about himself in a way. Because he's the disciple that Jesus loves. He's been everywhere with Jesus. So it's not about them. It's comparing John's love for Jesus with Peter. No, it's about the fish. Do you love me more than these? 153 big fish that brings you so much joy. Do you love me more than that? Following Jesus is not to say yes to religion or set the rules, spiritual rules that people put on. No, following Jesus really means that you have to give up the things that you love the most in this world for Jesus. And a lot of times these things are things that are catching our eyes, our minds, and they are sinful stuff that we do. And I don't know your heart, but I know mine. But if you are, you know, working overtime to keep hidden in those secret rooms all the sins that you don't want anyone to know about, or maybe there's things that happen to you and you are shameful that happen to you, although you don't have any guilt of them. But you still feel condemned sometimes. I can't step there. I'm too sinful. Jesus was there to show them that looking at the beauty of God, although it gets you to understand who you are, is the moment where you have to, you know, respond to his calling. And maybe he's calling you for a while now. You have to give up your life to follow me. Are you ready? Are you ready to put Jesus on the first place in your life? Are you ready to prioritize this into your life? What it means to have Jesus a priority in your life, it means sometimes there's no discussions. There's no negotiation there going on. He is number one. I was talking with my brother-in-law, and we were talking about, you know, life and Christianity. And there was a thing that I really liked it. He said, you know what? For me and my family, Sunday is church time. There's no discussion. Obviously, if somebody's sick and other things, yeah. But for us, Sunday is church time. You know, time with the brothers and sisters, with the church. That's my understanding of one of my priorities in life. And I was like, that's so true. Because if Jesus is number one, he's a priority, there's no discussions. There's no negotiations. I'm doing this. You are so determined that nothing can stop you. Not the rain, not the, I don't know, business of life. Not that you are too tired to wake up on a Sunday morning. Not because the sun is so nice and it's a good day for a barbecue. Now, there's nothing stopping you to do that thing, to follow Jesus. So we have to follow Jesus. But for this, we need to listen. And sometimes Jesus will bring crisis in our lives. And then we need to adapt our life to his calling, to give up what we need. And that will show really that he's number one in our lives. I have a short example here. And it's a very easy one. I hope everybody can see it. You know, sometimes in life, there's a lot of things that we do all the time. You know, small things. I don't know, paying your bills. Small things. Going to work every day. The small things, we have to do them every day, right? And we get our lives full of all this stuff every day. And then, there's some more here. And then, you know, comes more important things, like family, right? Being a husband, being a wife, you know, all this stuff. And they go in. And then, sometimes the big stuff coming in life, you know? And you try to put them in. There's no place. And you try to squeeze them and you try to, you know, arrange them. And this, almost every time, is God and his priorities. And his heaven. And his the new life. And his the calling. And we don't have time. There's no more space. Because we are so crowded. And we are so tired sometimes. We are working so much. We are focusing on all the things. And where does God fit in all this? Well, what we really have to do is to change this. And change our perspective and how we view things. So all the time, if you start with the big stuff and you put them first into your life every day, every morning, that's something amazing is going to happen. And God is going to have your heart, your attention from the morning. Then with all this, you come with all the other stuff that you have to do. And you are so focused and, you know, they're scheduled to your life to go in. And then after all this, you know, comes the little things. And probably now you'll have time for them too. And who knows, maybe some more. And when you start to put everything into your life in the right way, you have time for Jesus, you have time to listen, and everything goes in the right way. I'm going to shake this a little bit, as all things in our life. And I might have some water here. I can put that in. And you know what? There's still some more room, more spare room in there to put other things. Now, this example I always like, and it's a wonderful for me and a reminder of what, you know, prioritizing Jesus and ministry really means. in our lives. Because when you go to crisis, you remember this, you'll be there. Jesus will be right in your sight to follow him. If you want to follow Jesus, you have to adapt your life. He has to go first in, otherwise you can't do it. And more than ever, there's things that you have to let go, that you really love in this world. Are you ready? Are you ready to do it? I hope God will give us the strength and power and the Holy Spirit that just came last Sunday to really, really empower everyone to follow Jesus everywhere he calls us. Amen.
Thank you, Alex. It's a really good visual aid to really cement everything that you've shared with us and challenged us with this morning. Let's close by singing one final song together. In Christ alone, my hope is found. And let's always seek to putting him first in our lives. Then we've got room for everything else he calls us to and blesses us with.
Fear in death, this is the power of